Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Welcome to the Sell or Die podcast. We're your hosts, Jeffrey
and Jen Gittimer.
I'm the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and 15 other best-selling books and the creator of the Seven-Figure Sales Formula Program. I grew up in Philadelphia, sold in New York City, but was smart enough to move to Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I'm the author of Sales in the New York Minute and creator of Breakthrough Business Babe Community. Fun fact, I'm obsessed with our dogs and consider them humans. If you have a dog, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sell or Die is for sales professionals, salespeople, sales managers, entrepreneurs, and business owners who want to sell more at full price, earn loyalty, and have an unlimited stream of referrals.
Every single episode is going to give you real-world, easy-to-implement solutions so that you can get your calls returned, your proposals read and acted on, all while creating relationships that you can take all the way to the bank.
It's time to sell or die.
Welcome back.
To who, me?
No. Well, yes, Jeffrey, welcome back to you. And to you, diehard, welcome back to another amazing episode of Sell or Die. We are so glad you're here. And today we have an all new episode. We're going to be talking about... Dun, dun,
dun. Tell us who our special guests are.
Your special guests are Jen Gittimer.
Right.
And
Jeffrey Gittimer. We are the special guests of the day because we have a very important subject that we did not want an outside viewpoint on because we have enough inside viewpoints to occupy 10 shows. And when you hear what the subject is today, you're going to go, oh, but the reality is you're going to get some insight that you've never had before about who really helps you. So let's look at it from that perspective. Who helps you? Is it a coach? Is it a mentor? Who's on your team that encourages you, guides you, gives you information, and puts you on the path to your success? And we're going to start with ourselves about who inspired us. Who coaches you, Jen?
Yeah, so it was really interesting that you want to talk about this topic tonight. And I do believe the universe brought this our way because last night it's like so timely for me. Last night I was on Facebook just scrolling through and I realized that one of my coaches was actually doing a coaching session and Coach Glitter in her group. And I was like, oh my goodness, how did I not have this on my calendar? Like clicking it as quickly as possible. I get in there and she's like, okay, well, if no one has any questions, and I'm like, wait, me. So I hop on, live stream, and it's just in our private group. And I hop on live stream with her and she's like, are you here because you felt sorry for me? And I'm like, no, I swear, no. And of course, now I have to come up with a question that I want coaching on. And so I start talking through something and she gave me the biggest kick in the ass that I didn't know I needed. And so you were going to say something.
No, oftentimes that's what happens. It's the serendipity of being in the right place at the right time with the right question and the right teacher.
Yes. Yes. And she said exactly what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it, when I was most open to receiving it. And so it was just so cool to be already in a program that I have access to where I do get coaching like that. And so I have, I made that commitment to set myself up for success, right? But to be able to surround myself with these amazing coaches who just help you get to the next level. And so if you're thinking that about your coaches right now. I wonder, are you in any coaching groups? Have you hired a coach? Are you working with a coach? Because even the best coaches get coached.
And who's yours, Jen?
My coach.
Yeah. Or your coaches.
Well, ooh. I've had many. So there are some right now.
Start out with where you started as with your coaching and then tell diehards where your coaching is right now.
Yeah. So as a young child, you need diehard. You need to think back as a young child and think about who was coaching you then, who is coaching you through growing up and through adulthood. Because for me, obviously I don't know if it's obvious. I didn't have many like hired coaches at that age,
right.
But there were people in my life who didn't necessarily have the title coach, but were massive influencers on my thinking, my questioning, my confidence, all the things. And so, for example, my grandpa he had computers before almost anybody had computers. And one of the reasons why I'm really tech savvy today is because he used to tell me, you can figure out anything you want. You're not going to break the machine. Just keep trying. And he would coach me through it. And so, you know, Diehard, I want you to think back to your childhood and think about those moments, coaching moments that you lived through and how they've impacted your life today and have shaped who you've become. Because it's not always the person who you're paying or with the title that's coaching you. There's definitely people you get coaching advice from throughout your life.
And it could just be a casual conversation or an event that took place that marks in your head forever. I'm going to give you an interesting example. When in the 1950s, my dad and grandfather built a motel outside of Atlantic City. It was $8 or $9 a night, to give you an idea when it was in time. But all the grandkids were always there. And one day I was in the office and some old man checked in and I was just watching him and he was smoking a cigarette and he put the cigarette down to sign the guest registry. He had hand rolled it himself and the cigarette was like black at the end of it. It was like, you could tell the nicotine or whatever it was. It was just ugly. And I looked, I couldn't help, I had to stare at it. And the old man looked at me and he goes, never smoke. And I was like, oh, like this is what happens kind of thing. And I never did. Now, I'm not going to tell you it was that guy, but there were certainly, that was an influence. It was a major, major influence in me not doing something that would have been very harmful to me. Like it's harmful to anybody else. You're sitting there going, yeah, I wish I didn't start smoking, but I can quit anytime I want. No, no, dude, you're addicted. It's the most addictive, I don't know what you want to call it. Chemical.
Substance?
Huh? Substance. Yeah, nicotine's the worst.
So who else has coached you throughout your life? What are some of the lessons that you've learned from them, Jeffrey?
Well, we just had an episode with Jamie, correct?
Yes. Well, we just recorded it. You guys will hear it in a couple weeks.
And we probably will cut out the story of me and Harry Litwack. He was the coach of Temple University basketball team, but I was a camper in a camp that he owned a part interest in. And he would come to our house and recruit me to go to camp, not play basketball, just go to camp. It was a boys and girls camp. I was in the fifth grade at the time. So I got all my buddies to come to the basketball court because Uncle Harry was coming and he was going to teach us some amazing basketball trick because he's the coach at Temple University. And he shows up on the court, a rotund guy. That's all I'm going to say. He was like 5'6" and 5'6". And his cigar was so big that he had to hold it in his hand rather than between his fingers. And he puts the cigar down on the ground and he turns to one of the kids, give me that ball. and kid bounces him the ball. He turns around, he shoots a layup and makes it. And he says, you see that shot? 99% of all basketball games are won with that shot. Don't miss it. And then he walked off. Like, that was the whole coaching lesson. Well, I was kind of disappointed that day, to say the least, because I thought, oh, you know, old Uncle Harry, he's going to do something cool. And he didn't. But he did something that was so profoundly fundamental that it stuck with me for 50 years. Wait, 60 years. And it's still 99% of all basketball games are won with layups. How many layups are you missing? How many easy shots are you not taking or missing because you thought it wasn't cool enough? I'm just saying. And those kind of things happen all the time, Jen.
Yeah, and I mean, that really relates to sales and business as well, not just on the court, but in the field, in reality. How many of you are skipping the fundamentals?
And how many of you are not paying attention when it's time to really listen with the intent to understand? You made a very valuable statement that I sort of honed in on as we were talking. You can't tell when to leave the screen. We're in different rooms. But if you remember when we very first started this program 3 minutes ago, that you have to be at the right place at the right time with the right need and the right teacher.
Yeah.
So I wrote down the four rights of coaching, the secret power of the coach. But it's only successful, like, you got the right information, correct?
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
You were listening with the intent to understand. You were taking note. You were waiting with bated breath for the answer, not knowing everything.
Well, no, the funny thing is, she like came in with this one-liner that was such a zinger. And it was, most people who are sensitive, she knows I'm not, and that she can be direct with me. But most people who are sensitive would have been like, oh, I'm going to go cry now, you know? And I was like, what? I just came on. My immediate reaction was, I just came on here to be nice. And then I go, but wait, what you just said is true. And I need to think about that.
Come on, come on. What did she say?
She asked me why I was half-assing something for my business. And, well, you asked, so I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute, I just came in here to be nice. And I got defensive. And then I was like, wait, she has my best interest at heart. Why does she think I'm half-assing something? Is there truth to that? And I had to really ask myself, is there truth to that? And then she said, what's the benefit? Because with a good coach, they're not giving you the answers. A good coach is asking you the right questions so you can figure it out for yourself. And so one of the things she asked me was, what's the benefit of doing it that way? How? And I'm like, well, there has to be a benefit, right? I have to be winning somehow if I'm doing that way. And she's like, yep. And I realized, I'm not going to go into my whole coaching session, but, you know, I realized a lot of things about how I was acting around this one particular area and what I really needed to do to step it up. And how it's not just about me, because I was half-assing it because I was making it about me and that. And when she put it in perspective of it's about my clients, it was like, whoa, you know, the whole thing, the whole conversation just totally changed, because I would never half-ass something for a client. It was more that I was half-assing something for me. And then when I realized what just the trickle-down effect. And so it was just very, very powerful. And I think part of the reason why it was so powerful was she was not giving me answers. She was making me think and really question things and look at things from a different perspective. And that's one of the best things. You know, I just went through this coaching training program, and my coach, who teaches coaching, took us through this entire training program. I did a 2-day in-person event, and then it was a 10-week training program. And one of my biggest takeaways from that is, you know, a lot of times we have these limiting beliefs that are preventing, you have a limiting belief that's preventing you from getting to the next level. It's preventing you from doing the thing that's going to take you a little bit further. And if I just came in there and I was like, hey, you have this belief, it's hurting you, you wouldn't be open to it. But if I started asking you the right questions to open up your mind and really shift your perspective so that you could see the other side, it's kind of like opening the elevator door and you see what's on the hallway versus like just trying to be closed in the elevator and see that one area. You know, when you open up that door, all of a sudden you have this brand new view. And if you can do that for a coaching client, or if someone can coach you through something, it can change your life.
It's turning a wooden box into a glass box. And in sales, too many people sell the wooden box, and you have to be able to sell the glass box. And in coaching, too many people are a wooden box. They would prefer that they not expose themselves to their weaknesses or to their fallacies or to their bad habits or to their addictions. Rather, they would just gloss them over and say, okay, well, let's do this. And you don't really deal with what's ailing you. We all do it. I do it. You do it. Everyone does it. Shouldn't eat this. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't watch this. Shouldn't do that. And we do it. And if you have the right influence, it's not just coach, it's influence. Because your mentor can influence you, your coach can influence you, your friends can influence you, your parents can influence you, and all the people that are around you, even your coworkers, can influence you in a way that might make you take different actions. Or your banker can influence you, or your accountant can influence you.
The news can influence you. I hate to say it, but
yeah, it can. Totally can. So look at who and what is influencing you. And realize that that may be a coach of good influence or bad influence, and you choose. Yeah, I'll just do one. It's not going to hurt. Huh? No, that's not a good influence. And that person may be coaching you or coaxing you to do something. Coach or coax. Think about it.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate that in the coaching relationships I've enrolled in, and I'm going to call it that because there was a payment involved, with Jen Casey or James Wedmore, or Coach Glitter, Tiffany Lee Bimaster, they've all had good intentions, and there's no axe to grind. Do you know what I mean? Like the only thing they want to do is help their client get to the next place they're trying to get.
They have good coaches. There are some coaches that coach so they can get to the next coaching session.
Right, and so diehard. Jeffrey just mentioned all of these types of people and things that could be influencing you. And if you're not in a relationship where you really trust the person that's giving you information and giving you advice, I challenge you to question.
Exit stage left. What? No, exit stage left. If you don't feel comfortable with the advice you're being given, get the hell out of there.
But see, this is what I think happens. I think people don't even realize sometimes they're getting advice or they're being influenced. And as a society, a lot of people have really stopped thinking for themselves because there's a lot of thought that's already out there. And so my challenge to our listener is to really question, unless you're already in this safe container where you've signed up for coaching, or it's with someone you trust, really question the information you're getting. And, you know, like at Gabrielle's school, when she does a research project, she has to go get sources online and then verify if those sources are actually true, because you can't believe everything you read. And so a lot of people have gone to Google for coaching. How do I do this? How do I do that? And Google may not always have all the right answers.
Right.
So I'm just saying, question the information that's coming your way.
There are people that say question everything. And so you look at it from the perspective of, is this firsthand information or is this secondhand information? Am I going to talk to the person that went around the world or the person that talked to the person that went around the world? So I'm I'm a firsthand person. I've always done things firsthand myself. When I was responsible for sales in New York City, I had no one to be, you know, it was just me. So I would ask people, and interesting, I got coached by people who either made sales in New York City or bought. Those are the two people that coached me. And it helped tremendously. And every time I would go into someone's place of business, I would talk to them about their place of business because it's New York. What do your customers think? What do they normally do? Who normally comes in here? What's your biggest objection? You know, and it's amazing what happens when you get this information because you get it in small bites and you have to remember it. You have to remember it. If you don't, you're in trouble.
But you don't. So what's the best way then to remember it?
Right now, I text myself.
Yeah.
Or you hear it so many times like a meme, you can't forget it.
Yeah.
The best meme that I can remember growing up, never forgetting, well, there's two, interestingly. No, there's three. The first one was the guy at the end of a Phillies game who was the coach, Benny Bengolf, was a Phillies coach. He played for the Yankees. He was a catcher. He's the number one card on Gowdy. Very, very expensive card. Came to the Phillies as a coach and then did the wrap-up show at the end of the game. And his statement was, to be a big leaguer, think big league. And we actually mocked it because he was like reading from his cue card. But it stuck with me. It stuck with me forever. And now, pardon me if we ever show this in video, there's his autograph that sits on my desk every single day.
Wow.
Every single day. And this one he signed in 1947, 1 year after I was born. And we actually lived across the street from the guy in Margate. So to be a big leaguer, think big league is like, okay, that's your whole thought process. So that's number one. I think from an influence perspective, you have to look at your life and say, okay, what changed things? As a result of what happened, what changed things? So Harvey McKay is coming to town. And if you know anything about Harvey McKay, his most famous thing is his McKay 66. And he does this question thing about, you know, all the things that are details about you because he's a detail guy. Well, when I introduced him and Ken Blanchard at a talk in Charlotte in 1994, I want to say maybe 95. No, it was 93. Because then Ken Blanchard gave me a quote for the sales Bible. Dr. Ken Blanchard, it's a book you'll want to keep by your side at all times. Not bad. And McKay did the seminar, amazing seminar, in front of about 1,000 people. And then he talked about this thing, the McKay 66, and he calls my name. He said, now suppose I was trying to sell something to Jeffrey Gittimer, and I knew that you were born in West Palm Beach, Florida, but you were raised in Atlantic City, and you went to camp at Pine Forest, and you went to Temple University, and you moved to Charlotte, and he like lists these 50 things about me. He said, could I sell you something? I go, yes, yes. At the end of his talk, by the way, and I still have it, he was reading from a piece of paper. He signed the piece of paper and gave it to me. But what it taught me was the more you know in detail about the other person, the more likely it is that you can engage them in a conversation willingly. Willingly. Not about my product, not about it. He had nothing to sell. But he knew so much about me that I was willing to buy. And we've been friends ever since, just by the way. So those are impactful things, Jen. I think it's a very important thing to understand about how the world is rolling.
Did he become a coach to you?
This is pretty interesting. I never felt like I had a coach. I always felt like I had friends and mentors. Like, I never gave Harvey McKay a nickel. Well, that's not true, but I did a promotion with him, and I actually gave him like $100,000, but I made $100,000 also. But, you know, my mentor, Earl, we never talked about money at all. So I didn't pay for coaching per se. Rather, I just had friends that turned into intellectual exchanges, and these people were happy to quote, coach me or mentor me. I don't really know where the fine line is.
I just think like, okay, it just made me think that he knew all this information on you. So he established deep rapport.
Right.
And then he was able to influence you in not like a slimy way or anything like that, but he was able to influence you in your thinking and give you ideas and stuff like that. And, you know, we're talking about this who are you getting coached from perspective, but it could also relate to a sales call perspective and a client perspective, because how are you becoming not so much the coach to your clients, but the mentor to your clients, the trusted advisor to your clients, the person who's gaining the same respect that a coach would gain, and able and ability to really influence their buying decisions because they trust you, because you have their best interests at heart.
They realize that what you're saying resonates with them, has value, and they want to know more. And that's the whole deal. There was a turning point in my relationship with Harvey McCabe, which, by the way, one day he called me and asked me for my thinking. And that was like, really? You're asking me what I think? He goes, yeah. And it was for a title of a book and you know, for a couple of other things. And now we exchange. He'll call me, I'll call him.
Maybe when it becomes mutual.
Yeah. When it becomes mutual, then it's a real bond.
It's and that's a client for life too, when it becomes mutual.
I agree. But I want to tell you that I want you diehards to think for a second, not who's your coach, who has impacted your life with information, because that's really what coaching does. The coach can provide you with encouragement or support or the desire to do something or achieve something. And it's an impact. It impacts your success. It might impact your family. It might impact your health. But whatever it is, there's an impact to it. So think about who has impacted you. Have you thanked them? What have you done in exchange for that?
And the coach, this person that Jeffrey is having you think of, is totally different than someone who's your rah-rah, sis boom-bah, like cheerleader in your life. Just because they're cheering you on, there's an important distinction, does not mean they're actually doing the same thing that a coach would do in terms of shaping where you're going.
Right. The cheerleader wants you to win. The coach might tell you how to win.
Right.
And both are important. You have to be, you know, self-inspired, motivated to win, but there has to be a strategy to be able to win as well.
So. Wow. It's your time to win, Die Hard, because we are out of here.
And I'm very grateful for my coach. One of my most important coaches in my life is Jen Gittimer.
Oh.
Because she will always give me unbiased opinion that is in my favor. She knows me perfectly well. She knows all my strengths and all my weaknesses, although I don't have a lot of weaknesses. I do have enough to count on a couple of hands.
No, just that one.
Gotcha.
Just kidding. None.
But the bottom line is, when you can take the advice of your mate and not try to be defensive about it, you end up winning big time. So listen to the people that are the closest to you, because they know you the best. And with that, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
Y'all, I'm going to cry, but I'm Jen Gittimer.
And I'm telling you to get out there and get your ass coached, because that's what's going to make you the next sale. Cheers.
Bye. I love you, honey.
It's true. Thank you so much for listening to Sell or Die. We hope that this episode has helped you transform the way you think, given you new ideas, and provided you a new perspective on the sales and business challenges that you face every day, so you can get out there and win the customer all the way to the bank.
If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate and review. Each review helps us help more people just like you make a difference in this world. Don't forget to take a screenshot, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag us at Jeffrey Gittimer and at Jen Gittimer.
See you next week.